power. Let the church say, I've got the power. Okay, got to do it again like I did last week. Last week, I had to remind you that when some of us who are a certain demographic and age group, when we hear that song, we can hear that word that goes to the song that I said, right. So when you hear, you already know what it is. Let's try this again. Everybody said, I got the power. Right. And some of y'all that's younger, I don't need y'all giving me that look like, ooh, you old. That's fine. So today's sermon is entitled The Power of Movement. The power of movement. And I know on the screen we saw the artistic representation of the word, but the preacher in me is compelled to read what the word says to you and have it in front of you. So we're going to come from Mark chapter 9, verses 14 to 29, and it reads as follows. When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. What are you arguing with them about? He asked. A man in the crowd answered, Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not. Verse 19 says, you unbelieving generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me. So they brought him. When the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said he's dead, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this can only come out by prayer. And in other translations, it says prayer and fasting. So move, the power of movement. Move is a monosyllabic word, and it's simplistic. It comes from Latin and French roots, and it means to disturb or change one's position or change one's posture, or normally we say shift. And the word move is what we hear internally when trouble is coming, and we need that last internal push to get out of the way. We hear move. Move is what some of us feel when somebody's at the red light too long and it just turned green and we need them to get out the way. We think move. Move is the excitement we have when a baby is taking its first steps and we are happy to see move. But even though I gave some positives behind that word, sometimes we don't like the word move. Sometimes we don't like move because I just got to a place of comfort. I don't want to move. Sometimes we don't like the word move because we're older and we feel that movement is no longer on the table for us. Sometimes we don't like move because we're younger and we don't feel like we should be getting this kind of responsibility at that age. But we serve a God that is calling us to know him, trust him, exercise authority in this season of power. And there is power in movement. Last week, we talked about power. We talked about exousia, which is authority. We ended up on the word go. And now God is sending us even deeper when it comes to the exercise of the authority and the responsibility of that power. It's one thing to have the power. It's one thing to know I have the authority. But it's another thing to be responsible with using it. And sometimes we don't move because we're scared of moving. I can't move. You don't know my story. I can't move. You don't know my finances. I can't move. What if Jesus made a mistake in calling me? I can't move, it's too early, or it's too late, or it's too little, or it's too much, or the gulf is too wide, or the obstacles are too high. But God is bigger than each and every scenario that I just listed. His sovereignty is never in question, neither is his power. But now, resurgence, it's time to move. And the first part of the text for us today is this. He's forcing me. He's forcing me to move. Turn to somebody and say, he's forcing me to move. That was step. Okay, turn to the one that you like. Turn to the other one. Turn to the one that you like this time. Say right, right. Because the first articulate is he's forcing me. Turn to the other one. Say, he's forcing me to move. Now turn back to the other one and say, the force is strong with this one. Shout out to my Star Wars people. The force is strong with this one. So before we get to the part of Jesus moving and the boy getting healed and the father being transparent, what happens is they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus takes his crew to a high mountain, and he was changed before them. Not everybody went, just Peter, James, and John. Side note, when you have the power to move, please understand in this season, everybody can't go with you. You need to be comfortable with moving with a small group and with the Holy Spirit. He began to change his form. Christ's appearance began to change. He began to look great and light and bright. When we spend time with God and pray, we will have more power. In fact, the external will affect our internal will and our external. In other words, the eternal of God will move in our life and affect our inside, and that will begin to show on the outside. But forcing me to move, force means he's causing things to move. Force means change of pace. Force means push or pull on the object. And after the force of Jesus showed up in a different way, the disciples had to move. When the force of Jesus first shows up, he calls them to be fishers of men. And that was the first move. But as Jesus begins to change, then the disciples are forced to change. In this scenario, the disciples were asleep. But when the force showed up, they moved from slumber and they saw his glory. The disciples were asleep, but when the force showed up, they saw not just Jesus, but Moses and Elias and giants of faith. The disciples were asleep, but when Peter saw this, he says, let's not move, but stay right here and have church forever. Let me make it plain to us. When we first meet Jesus, there's a sense of euphoria. I'm saved. I'm going to glory. Everything's going to be all right. But once you get to know God through Jesus Christ, you're forced to move. Once you get to understand the power or the comfort of the Holy Spirit, there is a deeper pull on you, so you are compelled to move. Watch this. Since Jesus loves me, this I know, then I have to move. Since I know about his healing power, then I have to move. Since I'm experiencing him delivering me from trouble, then I have to move. When I see him breaking chains of worry, then I have to move. God, when I see that you are a healer, a way maker, a provider, a redeemer, the protector of my soul, the force of Jesus Christ is in my life, then I have to move. If Jesus is forcing you to move, why don't you give God some praise this morning? That was kind of weak. Wait, movement means I'm changing my speed. So when some of us, listen, when we first came in, sometimes our movement was a little bit slow, but now we move a little bit differently. Because when Jesus is forcing me to move, my speed changes. So before I used to sit down when the praise team would come up, but now I'm standing up during the countdown because he forced it. Before, when someone would ask me how you're doing, I would sit down on my testimony. But he's changing my speed so that I got to move faster to tell somebody how good God has been. Before, I wouldn't say how good God has been and give him glory when I'm by myself. But since he's been so good to me, now I have a reason. Listen, he forces me to move. The Bible says it's like fire shut up in my bones. He's forcing me to move. The Bible said he gives me prayer for my ashes and my sadness. He's forcing me to move. Listen, if you've ever been in a dark place, if you've ever had a sad season, and then Jesus shows up, you know what it's like to change speeds, to change movements, to put your foot to the pedal of the car of your life and say, now, because of Christ, I have to move. There's power in the movement. If you believe that, give God some praise this morning. There's power in the movement. Now, if you've been listening to me for a little while, you know this. Uh-oh, what he gonna say? Because you done let us shout about moving. You let us get happy. You let us get excited. But Pastor, we heard the text. And we know that there's something happening later on. And what I'm compelling you to consider is that the power of the movement is not just for the high and holy place, but the power of the movement is because your movement is attached to ministry. They had to move because there was a boy that needed healing in the valley. They had to move because there were people with errant theology in the valley. They had to move because disciples who were being accosted were in the valley. And I know we don't like the word movement when it takes us out of our place of comfort, but the reason why Jesus is forcing you and moving your heart is because somebody needs to be blessed by your presence. You can't stay on that mountaintop experience because somebody is in the valley waiting for you to move. That song we used to sing, somebody prayed for me, had me on their mind, took their time to pray for me. That's not a mountaintop song. That's the prayer war room song. That means somebody is taking the time to come out of their place of holiness and happiness with God to get on their knees to make sure you're all right. There's a shout in this room that knows mom was praying for you to make sure you got home from that long night out. Oh, it's going to get quiet. God, listen, grandma was praying for you so that generations later you will be successful. Somebody went to the prayer room for you and didn't stay in a place of, I'm here to worship you, but they had to go in war for you. You can't stay on the mountain because somebody needs you in the valley. There is power in the movement. There's power, there's power, there's power in the movement. We got to have spiritual equilibrium. That means we can't spend all our time up here because there's assignment down there. We can't spend all our time. Hey, y'all church only lasts 90 minutes? Yeah, because we got work to do in the valley. We got souls that need to be saved. We got people that need to be encouraged. Shout out to Resurgence. Ooh, get in trouble. Wait. Because y'all, ooh, thank you, Holy Ghost. You could have just said, we just going to pray for Pastor B. We're going to lift up holy hands and intercede in the heavenly realms and make sure that she's all right. But you said, not just prayer, but we're going to send and do something active to make sure that the family is taken care of. Some of you sent DoorDash. Some of you that really love us sent chicken and salad to make sure we was healthy. Bless God. Some of y'all made sure we had healthy drinks and rotisserie chicken so we wouldn't get filled up on pizza and junk food. But the fact of the matter is, you made sure that there was movement attached to your movement with God. All I'm telling you today is, once you leave here today, make sure that you move as Christ calls you to move. If you believe that, give God some praise. Now the last part, because I'm done for the day. Last part is this. I need your help. The last part is this. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Uh-oh, I'm stuck." Now, for some of y'all to get real comfortable in these seats, that might be a truism. Wait. Because I can tell when some of y'all recline, because I can see some of the feet come up. Amen. Keep them feet down and pay attention to the word. Turn to somebody else, say, "Uh-oh, I'm stuck." So it's the next day, and Jesus comes off the Mount of Hermon. That's what it's called. There's a crowd, and out of that crowd comes a man. This man is a child who is suffering from seizures, which are connected to demon possessions, which causes the child to fall into fire or into the water. And all the participants in this scene are stuck. And it's hard to move when you're stuck. It's hard to move when you're fastened. It's hard to move when you're in a cycle. It's hard to move when you're cemented. And if you look at the scene, everybody in the scene is stuck. You have a father who has a son who is stuck. His son has been possessed for years. And the text lets us know that he has been possessed since childhood. We have a crowd that's stuck. And the crowd is there to see if another healing can happen, not for the well-being of the boy, but for the sensationalism of it all. We have a crowd with religious people in it, but all they're doing is making noise. They're disputing. There are teachers in the crowd, but they aren't pointed toward deliverance. They're pointed toward divisiveness. We have followers of Christ who are stuck. They want to do what's right, but they're overwhelmed. They're overwhelmed with the man and the son. They're overwhelmed with the crowd. They're overwhelmed with the agitators in the crowd. They're overwhelmed that they aren't the ones who went up with Jesus to the high and holy place. And they were left out of the inner circle moment. And now they're stuck. feeling inadequate with not facilitating the healing to this boy. So when Jesus shows up, he sees this, he surveys this, he hears the situation given to them by the Father, and he says, "You faithful and corrupt people, how long must I put up with you?" It's hard to have power when you're stuck. Can I challenge you this morning? Who are you in the text? Some of us are the Father in the crowd. We have an issue, we have an ailment. We know someone who is suffering has been happening for a long time. We know of Jesus. Some of our relationships with Jesus are fractured because of what's been going on, to the point that we really don't believe that Jesus, your disciples, this church, that pastor, or this Holy Spirit can do anything to change anything for us. Some of us are in the crowd. We know the word, we know of God, but we don't have a relationship with Jesus just yet. So we come just to watch things happen. Or watch conflicts occur. We're there for the show, but not for somebody to get set free. We are stuck with no power to change, so instead of being a change, we make a scene. Some of us are disciples. We are given the power, Matthew 10:1, by Jesus to do the following: cast out evil spirits and heal every kind of disease and illness. And even though you are given this authority, you operate without faith that the power is in you. Because you really don't believe that Jesus can do in you and through you what Jesus has equipped you to do. So you are in the crowd, but since you don't believe, you have no power. You're stuck. So Jesus makes this statement that sounds harsh at the outset, and you can see his frustration with the lack of movement. And someone is asking, "Pastor, how do I get unstuck? How do I operate in authority that you talked about last week?" And in our text, the most real one in the room, outside of the boy and the demon and Jesus, is the Father. He doesn't want to stay stuck. He has a moment of transparency. He says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. If you can do anything, just show a heart to us. If you can do anything." And the "if" indicates where his faith is, but that's all right because he's being open to Christ. And Jesus throws it back at him. He says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And the man cries out, in certain translations says with tears in his eyes, "I do believe, but help my unbelief." Or, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." Or, "I do believe, but help me get out of this place called stuck." And part of the movement of whether you are the Father or the crowd or the disciples comes with, watch this, transparency with God. Through Jesus Christ. In fact, there is a shout of perseverance that should be coupled with transparency. Where are my people who persevere this morning? Watch this. Watch this. The Father says, "I'm not giving up. I'm still going to bring my son." The Father says, "I'm not giving up. I'm still going to ask the disciples." The Father says, "I'm not giving up. I'm still going to get help, even if my faith isn't there yet." Come on. There's my perseverance people this morning. You may not have all the answers, but you're still seeking. You may not have all the answers, but you're still coming to church. You may not have all the answers, but you're still making an effort. There's a shout in the 9 a.m. worship this morning of those of us who are willing to persevere. But there is no conversion of the boy until the Father confesses where he really is with God. And there is going to be no movement in our lives until we are transparent with where we really are with God and we really are in our faith. In that moment, last week we talked about exousia, that's authority. This week we're talking about dunamis. Dunamis is might, force, energy, miraculous power. It shows up 116 times in the New Testament. The miracles don't show up until the heart is ready to receive it. And God is not moving in or through a vessel that is unrepentant, that is hesitant, that is unwilling to confess so things can start to get better. So I'm asking us this morning, we have to start to be real with God and confess what we don't believe so God can move in our lives. And it sounds like this: "God, I believe, but help me overcome my lack of faith when it comes to my children. God, I believe, but help me overcome my lack of faith when it comes to my marriage being more loving. God, I believe, but help me overcome my lack of faith with the hurt in my heart that presents itself as a bad attitude to people I run into. God, I believe, but help me overcome my lack of faith with the addiction that has taken hold on my life, or the hopelessness I feel in society, or the depression that knocks at the door of my heart every morning. God, I believe you for some things, but not the deep things. But God, I don't want the devil to have hold over me, over my family, over my possession, over my finances, over my faith. And there are some people in the 9 a.m. service who are ready to get out of a place called stuck. If that's you, why don't you give God some praise this morning and declare that moving forward, I will be real with God. God is tired of us giving him lip service when it comes to the deeper healings in our life. God already knows. The songwriter said, Jesus knows all about your troubles. He will guide you till the day is done. That's why it comes with the refrain, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Parents know this. Before, I'm going to give you a cheat code, Jay. I'm going to give you a cheat code. When you walk in the room, I already know what you want. I can tell by how my son walks in the room, because he's me. Bless God. He walks in, does this. Hey, guys, with his little side shuffle and side smile. Listen, I was wondering. Okay, so hey, guys, I was wondering immediately means I want you to purchase a game for me. I want to use the PlayStation. I want something from you, Dad. It's not an articulation of just love. Because Brother Kenya, you got a son. You know how they come in the room. They come in with the whole kit and caboodle. Because I'm coming in asking. Now, I don't mind the show. Brother, listen, I appreciate it. At least you come with some kind of deference. But sometimes, just come and ask me what you want. Dad, can I use the PlayStation? No. Fine. We're good. Dad, can I get a game? Maybe. Fine, we're good. Dad, can I get some snacks? You don't got to ask me. Go get it. Fine, we're good. What I'm trying to get you to say is this. Stop playing with God when it comes to what you need. So often we come to him with all kinds of stuff. Hey, God. Oh, God, you're so great and wonderful this morning. Listen, if you don't mind, Heavenly Father, please. Or, Heavenly Father, Jesus, I just come before you today. However y'all phrase it. And the flowery stuff. And God is saying, I'm waiting for you to tell me, watch this, where you're lacking so I can fill it. Because if you keep on playing with me, I can't really get to where you're lacking. And many of us, we know that God can do it, but we don't believe. And God is just waiting for us to say, here is where I'm lacking. God, please fill me in my place of lack and have your power show up here. God, I need your power to show up here. And it's even okay for those of us who have come to the end of ourselves. Where are my go-getters at? Come on. Yeah, right. I know most of y'all. We got a lot of go-getters and resurgents. A lot of go-getters. We get frustrated with God when we get to the end of ourselves because we have the expectation that we can do it by ourselves and God is just along for the ride. And God is saying, no, in this one, I need to show up. I know you brought the son. I know you talked to the disciples, but I know you also don't have the faith. But here is where I need you to confess so I can do my best work and move in your life. If you believe that, why don't you give God a praise? As Antoine begins to play, and we're about to close out this morning. So when it comes to the end, disciples pull Jesus aside and say, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we save the boy? Why couldn't we move like you moved to deliver him from the demon? Jesus says you don't have enough faith. You thought you had to do it and you had faith in you, but your faith has to be in me. You thought you in your own power could be done, but when you tried it, you came up short. And instead of believing that God is the one working to empower you to do the impossible, you tried to do it yourself. In different translations, it says that this power doesn't come except by prayer and fasting. In March, as a sneak preview, we're going to start our series on fasting and resurgence. We're going to fast corporately and pray together. But I want to challenge us for a couple of things before we leave today. And if you mind, if you can stand on your feet as I look to close. First, if we want to have and get to this place called unstuck, first of all, my brothers and my sisters, first of all, you got to repent. Acts 3:19 says this, repent and then in turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. There must be a place of turning away from the activity that does not please him and replacing it with activity that does. Next, we need to resist. Let the church say resist. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Those are things I need you to do. But then they got a couple of G's I want you to do. A couple of G's. First of all, I need you to be a giver. I need you to let the church say giver. Luke 6:38 says, give it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaking it together, running over, it will be poured into your lap, for with the measure you use will be measured to you. Make sure you're giving. Not just to research them, make sure you're giving to somebody else. I guarantee all those that poured out in the time of Pastor B going through a health scare, God's going to bless you immensely. If you believe that, why don't you give him some praise? There's something attached to being a giver. Then I need you to be a goer. Let the church say goer. Mark 6:16-15, he says to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all the creation. I need you to make sure you're telling somebody about the goodness of God. Got quiet. I didn't say get the mic. I didn't say put on a worship experience. I just said tell him about the goodness. If he's been good to you and you can tell him that that's why you are the way you are. Hey, how many of us told somebody about Cat Williams? Okay. So if I can talk about Cat, and I think Cat is hilarious. And somebody say, yes, he is, over there in the corner, boy. I'm trying to stay here, Jesus. If I can tell somebody about Cat, and I can tell somebody about him. Then, next one, I got three more. Stay with me. I need you to be a forgiver. Let the church say forgiver. Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Part of the blocking of our power is because we have not forgiven. And I can't expect to have the power of God flowing if the blockage of unforgiveness still in me. Next one, I want you to be a carrier. Let the church say carrier. Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. Who can you help carry their burdens this week? And last thing I want you to be, and I need you to keep it in church, I need you to be a lover. Let the church say lover. Because I know some of y'all. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Make sure you're loving somebody this week. It's about to be colder this week and darker this week. So when the winter time comes and we don't have as much vitamin D from the sun, we need people to reflect the Son of God. So my brothers and my sisters, whether you're in the classroom, because somebody up here just gave a deep breath like, I know my teacher's like, listen. Okay, in the classroom, in the grocery store, wherever you are, try to show the love of God to somebody, because you never know what effect that'll have on them. But I also know that there may be someone here who's in a place called stuck, and they don't know Jesus for themselves. So I'm going to pray as everyone bows their heads around the tavern. I'm going to pray for you, and then have the prayer of faith, and we're going to go try benediction. So let's pray. Band, keep playing. You guys are doing great. Let's look to the Lord. God, in the name of Jesus, we love you and we thank you. God, first of all, this prayer is for those who are here. We're praying, oh God, that we receive the word that was given from you today. God, we pray that, first of all, we enjoy the force of your movement, the force of your Son moving us from grace to grace, from glory to glory. But then, God, help us to understand and keep in mind that our movement or our high times with you means that there is work to be done in the valley. Then, God, I'm praying for that person who is in a place called stuck, especially if they're in a place of being stuck and without salvation. God, compel them right now in the name of Jesus to make sure they don't leave this place unsaved and uncovered, that they understand that power is there, glory is there, saving grace is there, love is there, but it starts with confessing. It starts with believing. starts with saying, Lord, I'm glad to meet you for myself. Father God, let them not leave this moment unsaved. And then, God, let them know that you love them best. Bless us now, God, as we are about to leave this place of worship and go out and operate in our power. We love you, Lord. Bless us and keep us now. It is in the name of Jesus the Christ that we pray. Allah, God's people, say amen, amen, and amen. Listen, I want you to say one thing. Say, I've got the power. I got the power. I got the power. Listen, have a great week. I will see you next week. Take care. God bless.